proud of this game, and you can do a great deal for football today.
The whole tradition of the National Football League, there's just certain things that go together, the family, football, and we have it all today.
Time never really stops for the great ones. It reaches out and wraps them in a cloak of immortality.
Welcome back to the NFL Alumni Lounge. I'm your host, Charlie Boot. And although we're all sad that the Canton Hall of Fame induction this year for the Pro Football Hall of Fame has been postponed to next year, we will be celebrating today because one of our newest enshrinees, Class of 2020, Pittsburgh Steelers legend, Mr. Donnie Schell, joins the lounge today. And he will be going in to become an immortal in Canton when things finally open up in 2021. This episode is being brought to you by our friends at Scholastic Books. It means the world to us to be able to impact children's education around the country with the best in children's books, Scholastic Books. We'll hopefully be seeing you guys at a book fair near you very soon. Now, put your gold jackets on if you got them. Raise a glass, because here he is, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest we've ever seen on the gridiron, Mr. Donnie Schell. Donnie, how are you?
I'm doing good, y'all. How you doing this morning?
Doing good. How could I be anything but golden when I have a man who is now a Golden Jacket representative? How does it feel?
Oh, it's feel great, man. Got postponed, but, you know, we're already in, so it's just a matter of going through the ceremonies. I'm excited about next year, though.
Absolutely. No, it's nuts how everything's had to pivot this year, but it's been a long time coming for you. We know Steelers fans, football fans everywhere for years and years have been saying, we're ready to see Donnie Schell in, and it feels good to see it happening, man.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody's prayers, man, their well wishes. It's just been great, especially for my former teammates. It's been very uplifting.
Absolutely. So take us back to the beginning. Take us back to South Carolina. What was a typical day like growing up in the Schell house?
He had nine brothers and sisters, and I played all sports in high school, so I had to get home if I wanted something to eat.
It was off the table quick.
That's right. It's always off the table, man. But it did save a little something for me. But I grew up in a small rural town in Whitmire, South Carolina, in Milltown. But everybody loved sports, man. They really supported us. And it was a great and fun time growing up and playing sports in my hometown, Whitmire.
So where was your head? Were you across sports? Did you have more passion in a certain sports? Any hobbies you loved?
Yeah, I played football, baseball, and basketball, ran track. You know, I didn't pick up golf until I got into college. But I just love all sports. It kept you active. You had to balance your time between your academics and your athletics. So it really helped me to do that. You know, once I went off with South Carolina State playing baseball and football, so I had the great, I was prepared to do so.
Wait, so you picked up golf in high school?
No, in college.
In college?
Yeah, in college. But our golf team, it was conference champs at my school.
So how'd the game come to you?
The game of golf?
Yeah.
Oh, my friend in grad school, Fred Small, introduced me to it. And so we started playing. I started taking some lessons. I got hooked.
Because we hear about that, you know, how once guys retire, you know, the NFL alumni here, it's like we're a full-time golf business. We always joke around. But we hear about your golf game, and I was wondering when that came into your life. So what was it like picking up on the game of golf compared to picking up on the game of football?
It's just the opposite. In football, especially, you're on defense. You're thinking about being aggressive and being strong and powerful. In golf, you got to let the club do the work. So I have to tell myself every time I grip the club and not to grip it like I'm going to hit somebody, knock somebody out.
Right. You got to channel that power.
Yeah, it won't work. So I had some great instructors, though. He said, no, Donnie, you got to pick your right club, pick your distance, and the club will do the work. So I had to get confidence in that club that it would get me the yards that I needed by just making a nice, smooth swing.
That's funny right there. You credit, again, a coach. And in talking and hearing some of the things you've said about, you know, Coach Willie Jeffrey and different coaches that have impacted you, how important was the guidance of coaches in your career?
It was very important. I mean, like I say, my high school coach, Coach Lefty Johnson William, William Lefty Johnson and Whitmire. He used to give me rides home in the afternoon and the evening after practices and tell me I can be whatever I want to be and I can go to college. I said, my parents, my brothers and sisters, I said, my parents can't afford to send me, coach. He said, if you keep playing, you may end up getting a scholarship. I said, oh, okay. But coaches have a great influence on young people because you're growing and developing. And I think when you get the right coach, they're there to mold and shape you at that particular time. He gave me confidence that I could go to school and be whatever I wanted to be from those talks after practice riding home.
What was that recruiting process like for you when you were in high school?
I got chosen to play in the high school all-star game, basketball game, and the football game. So I didn't get chosen in the football. So I got chosen in basketball. So I was preparing for that. And one of the coaches knew my high school coach, Coach Lefty Johnson, and they needed a linebacker got hurt in practice, and he called him and asked me would I be willing to switch over to football. I told him, amen. So it was a blessing.
Wow. So what position were you playing in basketball? And did you have that same aggression out there on the hardwood court?
Only when you go up for the rebound.
Mm.
A small forward and point guard. Play a little guard, but mostly small forward.
You always had the vision, folks. Is that something you realized that, like, just in sports, like, was your vision just always something that you knew? I got some superhuman powers here.
No, you really don't realize it. You don't realize that you have the talent and ability. I know I didn't. I thought everybody was out there playing. Everybody just had talent and ability to play. And I didn't think my ability and talent was no greater than anybody else's. When you're young like that, you don't realize it until you get a little older and you look back. And you see, but I think being involved with all different sports in high school really helped me in football. My hand-eye coordination, I played baseball and basketball, playing man-to-man, your footwork and playing man-to-man on football. So that's a lot of carryover value for me and helped me out in a lot of different and helped me out while I was playing football.
Now, one of your Canton teammates, Willie Lanier, Hall of Fame Kansas City Chief, was on the show last week, and he was talking about growing up and some of the social challenges that he experienced and that made him the man he is today. What was it like growing up South Carolina in the 60s? Did you face anything like that? And you know, how did it shape you?
Oh, absolutely. It was as we immigrated into high school, I think we were the first group, a second group to go to the predominantly white high school in Whitmire. We had to, before integration, we had to drive bus 18 miles away to Newberry, South Carolina, to go to school.
Wow.
But I remember it was very challenging. You know, some people, the laws had been passed, and some people still wanted you to come to the window. You couldn't go inside and eat with other people, and they had passed laws, so we decided to march. I remember some Caucasian white guys came down from New York and helped us to organize a peaceful rally and march for our rights. He said, Donnie, the law is passed. They can't keep you out. So I remember doing that at a very young age.
It's crazy that, like, and now with everything going on in our country, it's important, I think, that people realize how recent that history is. You know, I mean, it is really amazing when you think about it.
Oh, without question. Now I see it on TV, and you got a lot of different cultures involved. Mainly it was just the African-Americans who were marching. Now you got all different cultures involved, and more people involved in it, which makes it a lot better and make you feel a lot better about what you're doing and what you're trying to get accomplished.
Absolutely. So now we fast forward and you go into college, still a young man. You're headed onto a great football team. What's your mentality like headed into South Carolina?
South Carolina State. So we have the University of South Carolina. You can't get it confused.
South Carolina State, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. The Bulldogs. We got the Gamecocks in Columbia up there. So,
but we're barking. We're not crowing.
But I was excited. I was excited because I always envisioned going to college And I never knew about the college experience because no one ever graduated in my family from college. So I was excited to go and just see just what it was all about, you know, the academics, the football, and how all that worked together. And I was really excited to go and see that.
What did your parents and your siblings say when you said, you know what, I'm going to be the first one, I'm off to college?
Oh, they were excited for me. Yeah, they were excited for me. And, you know, I just believed that I could do it, you know, from the encouragement of my head coach and my parents. I thought that I could. And I didn't look at it as being real challenging. I looked at it as more of an adventure of wanting to see how everything worked. And I figured that if my teacher can teach me, then I can learn, because that's the way we did it in athletics. Coach taught, you picked up the information, and you went out and you performed it.
And so when did you run into your teammate, who's now your teammate for all time in Canton, Mr. Harry Carson?
Harry came a couple of years after me. I'm 2 years ahead of Harry. So we were down there, and Barney Chambers was down there, played for the Denver Broncos on the same team. And he was a great athlete at South Carolina State University.
What a squad.
But you don't realize it. You're there and you're all playing together. You don't realize that you're that good until you go off, and then all of a sudden everybody's playing pro ball. I said, wow, we had a pretty good team.
Yeah, I mean, that is amazing. That is incredible. And it's awesome, like, when you look to a lot of guys, like we had Larry Little on, there's this pride for the guys that played for these great HBCUs, and the pride that they carry to this day coming out of that path. Is that a big sense of pride for you?
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, I don't think I would have made it at a Division I school, because I needed the attention. I need to be nurtured and mentored. And I got that from my coach. I got that from my instructors, my professors. I can go and visit with my professors and tell them, you know, that I'm not going to cut your class. I'm here to get my education and have some personal and build. It taught me how to build personal relationships, and I think it's so important. It gave me more than an education, so I was well prepared when I graduated in 1974.
So what classes interested the great Donnie Shell the most in school?
I wanted to be a teacher and a coach, so I majored in physical education. I got my minor in biology. And then I went back after my first 2 years, we won the Super Bowl. I went back to grad school and got my master's degree in counseling because of my head coach, I wanted to come back to Whitmire and be a teacher and a coach like he was. He helped us more off the field than on the field about life. So I wanted to do that. So I knew exactly what I wanted to be and what I wanted to do.
What's something you took away from coach that, you know, even going forward in your life, when you're talking to young players, when you're coaching, what are some things that you always try to put into your players the way that he did for you?
To just give back and support, give back and help them and get involved in the community. He was a caring person. He cared about us more than just on the football field. He sold things into our lives about being a young man, and having a family, and giving back and helping people. And that's been my life, you know, coaches and teachers and people who come in my life and have a great influence and impact on my life. Coach Jeff, I had an option to go to Houston, Denver, or Pittsburgh, and he told me to go to Pittsburgh. So it's amazing. I was headed to Denver because Barney Chambers just got drafted in 1973. In the second round to Denver Broncos. He told me I'd come right out there and I'd take care of you. And I didn't feel too good about it. So I went down and I met with Coach Jefferson the next morning. I said, Coach, I'm undecided. He said, well, what's going on? I said, well, I want to go to Denver because Barney told me to come out there, but I don't feel too good about it. I want to know what you think. And he said, very emphatic. He leaned over his desk. He's very non-assuming, very quiet guy. He said, you need to go to Pittsburgh. I said, why? He said, they fit your MO. You're a hard worker. You give 100%, and that's what they're looking for. And it's amazing, man. He never said anything like that to me. Very emphatically like that. I said, why did you say it so confidently? He said, that's your MO.
Wow, that's a guardian angel right there.
Oh, my goodness, yes. it's amazing. And too, I want to give Coach Ory Banks. Coach Ory Banks came from Grambling. He was my first coach at South Carolina State College. I want to give him a plug. He signed me for 3 years. He was my coach for 3 years until Coach Jeffers came my senior year. So he played a very pivotal role.
So you and Coach Jeffries were only 1 year together?
Yes, 1 year, my senior year. Coach Ory Banks.
Wow.
Coach Ory Banks, assistant at Grambling, was the head coach at South Carolina State, and he recruited me, and he signed me. So I'd like to give Coach Banks credit and just give me an opportunity. So they both played a very pivotal role. And Coach Jeffries prepared me to go to Pittsburgh. He instituted the 4-3 defense in college for us.
So that plugged in perfect.
So the 4-3 defense, and he moved me to strong safety. So that really helped me.
Did you love that once you got switched to safety?
Either one. It was safety. You're more involved with the coverages and checks and different things of that nature. But either one, I think I was kind of like a hybrid back in the early 70s. And also, when I made the team, I was playing special teams in Pittsburgh. And then I also came in and played the nickelback on third down. I was covering wide receivers. So I was kind of like the early hybrid.
Right. Who were your favorite athletes when you were growing up? Who were the guys, or were there any athletes that you looked and said, I like him. I could try to run in that lane.
Yeah, pro football, Jimmy Brown, man. When we came after Trace on Sundays, everybody was Jim Brown. I said, everybody can't be Jim Brown today. I got to be Jim Brown. Jim Brown, I like Jack Tatum when I was looking at him. And he was very aggressive safety. And but everybody loved Jim Brown, man.
Two boys with strong Ohio roots. Talking about Jack Tatum, was that Raiders rivalry for your Steelers the fiercest one that you guys had?
I think it's the most intense one. We had some great battles, man, some great games. And you knew you're going to get it's going to be a great game for us and also for the fans that watched it.
You had just a knack for ruining quarterbacks' lives. And I mean, you talked 51 career interceptions. Which was there a quarterback that was hardest to read for you, or were they all pretty much the same?
No, it's a combination of reading the quarterback and also knowing what the down and distance, what they like to do on down and distance. So therefore, you have to be a student of the game and study the down and distance and tendencies. And sometimes they matched up, sometimes they didn't, so you can't guess. So you got to read the route and read the route progression. And we did one-on-one coverages every day in training camp and every day in practice with the Steelers. And that gave you a chance to learn how to read the different routes that the receivers were running. So when you put all that together, the film study and you see it and you see that route and then you recognize it, then you can really jump on it.
And you guys had a lot of steel sharpening steel, no pun intended, at those practices. You had high power things going on both sides of the ball.
Oh, without question, very competitive. When we practiced, the games were easy. I mean, you go against John Stallworth and Lynn Swan, and then Big Benny Cunningham out of Clemson University, about 6'6", about 270. And so we were very competitive in practice, and I think that really prepped us very well for the games.
What wide receivers were you most impressed by playing? Because you went against some greats. Yeah, I mean, the Raiders, thinking about Cliff Branch and that speed. What receivers popped out the most to you?
He does. I mean, I had him in the slot.
Oof.
I remember my coach called a blitz. He said, Donnie, you don't have to cover for about three seconds because our rush is going to get there. I said, well, you better get there because I got this guy. But Cliff Branch, Isaac Curtis from Cincinnati, outstanding receiver. Charlie Joyner, Francis, the tight end. Ozzie Newsom, the tight end. Oh, my goodness. Ozzie Newsom was, he's like a wide receiver. And Russ Francis was the ideal tight end. He was about 6'4", 6'5", about 265. But he ran about like a 4-5, man. He could block also. But Ozzie Newsom was like almost like a wide receiver playing tight end.
It's amazing, too, that it's like that was one of the most competitive and toughest eras in football. For you guys to form a dynasty during that era, is that's just mind-blowing to this day.
Well, we had good people that were good athletes, and I think it was very high character. I think that's what kind of separated us, you know, from a lot of people. And also, I like to add this, we had good coaches. Coach Noel believed in teaching, so we had good – we had great coaches that was teaching back in the early 70s. And he was, you have to be fundamentally sound if you want to play for Chuck Noll. He would not let us do anything that had a flaw in it that was not sound.
Well-oiled machine there, folks. What was the a typical practice like with Coach Noll?
We scrimmaged on Friday. It was very physical. It was about 2.5 hour practice. You know, and like you said, Fridays, we didn't take the pads off. We had about half of my career, first 7-8 years, we went live on the goal line on Fridays. But I think what it did, it just kept us, we had a great tempo in practice, and also we took that momentum from practice over in the games. And if you didn't practice that way, then we were a step ahead of you begin to play us because of our intensity in practice all week.
And, I mean, the intensity that Steel Curtain defense brought and the fear that you put in offenses, how do you think that would play out in the NFL in 2020? How would the Steel Curtain exist? Would there be a lot of flags? What would it look like?
No, you know, the Mel Blount rule. Mel Blount changed the bump and run rule and instituted the 5-yard chuck rule. Mm-hmm. No, I think we were adapted. We adapted. They changed the rule, and we adapted. We had some great athletes, yeah. And we had athletes, Charlie, that was second string, but could start for the team. And I remember was it 1979? We played the LA Rams in the Super Bowl, but I think we lost about 3 or 4 All-Pro players. We lost Mike Wagner. We lost Jack Ham. I think somebody else. And then Dirk Winston stepped in and played linebacker, and JT moved from corner to safety and played weak safety. So we had some very talented athletes because, you know, in the early 70s, there were no free agents that couldn't move.
So before free agency hit, was that the most you ever felt like a family vibe around the team?
Oh, well of course. I think it was not only because of that, also because of the Rooney family. They were a family oriented. Mm. When you made the team, they always tell Miss Rooney, said, "Welcome to the family. We're a family." So they created that. They created that a great atmosphere, and I was just talk with Mike Wagner. I have a yearly tournament. He said he couldn't make my tournament. I told him I appreciate him coming every year and not only supporting me, but Mel Blount and John Starks and our events and what we're having. You know, when you text me back, he said, "Man, I look at you as my brother. We're family." Mm-hmm. I said, "Wow. Oh, wow, man. That meant so much to me, man. He's one of my mentors.
That's real.
Great athlete.
And, that is real.
He deserves, I'm giving him a plug, he deserves being that Steelers Hall of Honor this year."
Absolutely. That gave me goosebumps hearing that. And that's true. To this day, you see in that Steelers organization, the family that is still there. What is it about the Rooneys? I mean, that's where you spent your whole career there, 74 to 87, only a Steeler, only uniform that the great Donnie Shell wore, folks. Don't get it mistaken. Now, what was it about them that kept that family thing going? Is it just, it's just bred in them?
No, it was faith, family, and football. That's what it was. That's what they believed in. Mm. And the community. Very high on the community. Great example of being out in the community. And as I just described, John Starwood Foundation, the Mel Blount Youth Home, the Donnie Shell Scholarship Foundation. All those ideas came from the Rooney family being involved in the community, going and speaking to students at schools and being feeding the hungry in the community. All those things came from the Rooneys, and they were right out there doing it themselves, and not only told us it was good, but they gave us a physical example of being out there and doing it.
So cool. And you think of all the trees that come out of that and how many people are impacted. Do you ever sit back and think of,
of the different paths that have been grown from your scholarship foundation?
Oh yeah. I think about it, but then you don't, because I'm just interested in helping to give young people opportunity. And I can relate to them because my parents couldn't afford to pay for my college tuition. I got a scholarship, very blessed and fortunate. But these are smart young people, you know, but financially they don't have the money. The parents don't have the money to send them to school. To see them and to see other people react to my foundation regarding wanting to help those young people, it's just amazing. And I have them to come and share with at the parent dinner at my golf tournament. They share their testimony on how they've been helped. One young lady came and she shared that she said, well, I was a good student, but I needed a computer. But every time I got ready to do my math and work and everything, my computer started breaking down. So she came to one of our, on the board at South Carolina State. She came to one of our board meetings. She said, but Mr. Chair, can you help me with a computer? I said, sweetie, I sure can. I said, you see Miss Boatwright right over there? You go talk to Miss Boatwright. Make sure you tell her the type of, make sure you do your research. And look up the type of computer that you need and what it costs, and you share it with Ms. Boatwright. And then I got a note from her saying that, she said, Mr. Shell, I got a summer internship, and I'm taking my computer with me. I sure appreciate your encouragement.
Wow, that's life-changing, Donnie.
Yeah, man, those are things that, I tell you, man, our sponsors, they had tears in their eyes, man. They said, well, Donnie, we spend money so much on golf. We play golf all the time. We spend so much money. And then one of the students said, well, I need the book. He said, we spend that much in playing golf. Yeah, so they were very impressed with the testimonies of the students and how they have helped them and encouraged them. And it reminds me of my path. I have a lot of people to come in my life to encourage me. So I wanted to give back and help somebody else, encourage someone else. And you never know, I might do a study on this. They may be the first generation in that family to attend school. I got to go do a study. So you never know who you're helping, where they're going to go, and what they're going to do with that degree, and how they're going to influence. So we don't give them a hand out. We give them a hand up. They got to give work hours back to the school in different areas of the university. They got to give something back. So that's teaching them responsibility. If people want to support that, they can go to DonnieShell.com and man, just give a donation, man, to help some of these young people, to encourage them. And to see their faces, it's just amazing. It seems like they got hope.
We don't give a hand out, we give a hand up. That's a really cool phrase right there. It's exactly what it is. You're sharing hope and you're setting a path for them. And folks, when you go on DonnieShell.com and you look at some of the golf tournament information, you're going to see a golf ball there on the flyer. And it's got a bomb on it. And that bomb's got 31. Donnie, do you hit bombs out there on that golf course? What part of your golf game are you proudest of?
When I get in trouble, and I'm in trouble a lot of times, if I hit it out of bounds or I'm in the sand trap, I like golf because golf is challenging. It seems as though you can never master it. But I say, and I like golf too, and it's a great game for young people because you're individual. You knock the ball out of bounds. You got to figure out your next strategy now. Do I go for it on the green or do I chip out and then so I can have a clear shot? Or am I getting the sand trap? So who's going to come and help me? You got to figure it out. No one's going to help me. I didn't see anybody, my force was coming over to help me to get out the sand trap.
You said, you're on your own, big man.
So you have to figure that out. So that's what I like about golf. You have to figure it out. Sometimes you take a risk and knock it. You're in the rough and you knock it. And you think you're going to get on the green. You don't make it. So that tells you that, you know, I'll chip out and take my stroke.
Which one of your former teammates would you say is the best golfer? Or is it Donnie Shell?
No, I don't. John Starr, I think. Mel Blunt. It's also Mel Blunt, John Stallworth, Greg Lloyd is a good golfer, and Jerome Bettis. was in my tournament.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Greg Lord, John Stallworth, Mel can hit the ball a country mile. But they all, Jerome is a good guy. All those guys are great golfers. I'm kind of in the mix, kind of in the middle.
a humble shell, folks. Oh, Donnie. Folks, if you want to get involved and make a difference, head over to DonnieShell.com. You'll see how you could do your part with the foundation or get involved in the golf tournament. It's great stuff going on. And Donnie, it is great to see you finally in Canton, Ohio, an immortal forever, one of our greats. Congratulations again, man, on the induction. And thank you for taking the time to come catch up on the NFL Alumni Lounge.
Oh, absolutely. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you to Donnie Shell and the whole team at the Donnie Shell Foundation for making this episode possible. And a special shout out to our sponsors at Scholastic Books. We cannot wait, guys, till this COVID era is done and we could be hanging out and reading at a Scholastic Book Fair near you. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and all major streaming platforms so you never miss a beat. You know we got the heat for you weekly. And be sure to follow the NFL Alumni on all social media platforms at NFL Alumni. I'm your host, Charlie Boots, and as always, it's a pleasure having you here in the NFL Alumni Lounge. See you right back here next week. Cheers.